Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 and 88.5. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. April is Autism Awareness Month, and as part of the effort to spread that awareness here on Cincinnati Edition, we've invited Macon Thomas, the clinical director for the Cincinnati Center for Autism, to come in and talk about autism and the center and all the doings they have going on there, especially here during Autism Awareness Month. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin by defining autism and the autism spectrum of disorders, because really it's not a specific disease for a specific individual. It's something different for just about everyone.
Yes, it is a spectrum of disorders that are classified kind of with three deficits, a deficit in social interaction, a deficit in language and communication, and then some what we call stereotyped behaviors or repetitive behaviors. This is what you see with hand flapping, lining up toys, and that type of thing. So those are kind of the three defining areas of deficit within the spectrum. But then outside of that, you get a lot of variation in how it kind of plays out from person to person.
This has been gaining quite a bit of visibility, and it seems that the numbers are growing as to children and people being diagnosed with autism. Is this awareness of the spectrum and the disorder, or is there a growing wave?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's one I often get when I'm out doing trainings and workshops. The belief is that it's a little bit of both, that there is an increase in awareness. So individuals are getting diagnosed more than they might have in the past because of that awareness, but that we're actually also seeing an increase in the characteristics that are defined as autism. So potentially environmentally, there's something going on so that we're seeing this increase, but there's also an increase in awareness.
So what kind of numbers are we talking about when it comes to children with autism, or at least being diagnosed as being on the spectrum?
Well, it has changed pretty quickly over time, and so I just looked at the numbers to make sure that I had the most update numbers that are put out by the CDC, and one in 88 individuals are being born with an autism spectrum disorder.
Is this more widespread in developed countries, underdeveloped countries?
There is some variation when you're looking at areas that have more individuals who are being diagnosed. But overall, it seems to be affecting all countries, all socioeconomic class, all ethnicities. Like I said, there are a few pockets where we see a little bit higher number, but I don't know if that is truly a higher number or if it's the way that they count their individuals and collect their data. But it does seem to affect kind of everyone.
No known cause, no cure. Is that correct?
There is research out there that points to that there is a genetic link. So there is being worked on with genetics, but it doesn't affect just one gene. It affects multiple. And so it's difficult to isolate, or has been difficult to isolate. So we don't have all of the research there yet. The kind of the common understanding, if you look at the literature, is that potentially there's a genetic link, a genetic factor, but then there's also potentially environmental factors that trigger the onset of the characteristics. So you're looking at something that's pretty complicated, which is why we don't have an answer yet. But I'm hopeful that we will at some point.
Well, more and more awareness, no doubt,
yes.
helping build the knowledge base quite a bit. So what can be done for someone with autism? You talked about deficits in the spectrum, speech and language skills and social skills and pretend play skills. What can be done to help out someone on the spectrum?
I think finding someone who has a good understanding of spectrum disorders and kind of the different resources out there is very helpful for families who are getting a recent diagnosis, who have gotten a recent diagnosis, and for families who have had a diagnosis for a considerable amount of time. There's so much information out there, and it's kind of hard to navigate all that. So finding someone who has a good understanding of the resources available, I think, is important. But outside of that, really looking at those primary deficits and finding related service providers like a speech-language pathologist, occupational therapist, a behavior analyst, these types of people, to really build those deficit areas is typically the approach.
Now, is this something, obviously there's a growing need. Has there been growing what am I looking for? related growing services. Resources to help folks with autism.
Yeah, I would say across the country, absolutely. Here in Cincinnati, growing, yes. Is there enough? No. or it doesn't feel like it for those of us who are in the field and talking to families out there who are desperately seeking services. But there are growing numbers, and I think it's just finding those people that really specialize and understand autism spectrum disorder. So you could have a speech-language pathologist who works with individuals who have different speech-related deficits, but finding someone who really has experience and understanding with the autism spectrum is going to be more beneficial for families.
This puts quite a burden on parents, I would imagine. Any advice for parents who have children who have been diagnosed with autism or on the spectrum, at least?
Oh, boy, advice. It's hard to give advice when you're not in their shoes. But I would say, like I said earlier, contacting someone who is in the field and who can give some direction, because there's so much information out there. There's so much conflicting research. There's so many different people doing different things, and knowing what to do is stressful. We're actually founded by a family who has a child with autism, and they were in a similar boat and still find themselves, you know, in a place where they're not sure what to do. And just talking to people who are in the field, I think, is probably the best approach. Call us. We don't always have all the answers, but we're certainly happy to help. And sometimes just being able to talk to someone is a good direction.
So ask questions, I guess, would be the advice. Ask lots of questions.
Yeah. Yes. Ask lots of questions. And if you're not getting the answers that or you're not getting good answers, then ask someone else, I guess.
Well, let's talk about the Cincinnati Center for Autism, because, as you mentioned, it was founded by a fellow who had a child with autism. Mm-hmm. And I would suppose, 10 years ago, back in 2003, mm-hmm. noticed there was a deficit of help available.
Yep, that's exactly right. They were told at Children's Hospital, where they got the diagnosis, that early intervention was critical, which is what the research says. But then when they went out to go try to find services, early intervention services, there wasn't anything out there, and they were put on waiting lists. And so they kind of set out to create a place where families could come, where there wouldn't be waiting lists, or at least there would be very, very short waiting lists, and that there would be another resource to provide these services in the area.
And so that's how it was founded back in 2003, and celebrating your 10th anniversary this year.
Yes, which is amazing. I haven't been there for the full 10 years, but I've been there for a good chunk of it, and it's amazing. It's amazing work that they did and what they provided to the community.
So you're based out in Springdale, and did I see a new building that you have? Some new resources you are working with?
Yes. We actually rehabbed or are in the process of rehabbing an old church in Springdale, and it just has given us more space, more appropriate space than where we were previously. So we are growing, and this building is helping us do that.
And you're celebrating your 10th anniversary at the end of the month, April 27th, with Night of the Stars. What's happening for this gala?
Yes, Night of the Stars is a fantastic event that we do every year. This one's just a little extra special because it is our 10th anniversary. But basically, it's a gala where we invite people from the community to come and have dinner and listen to some music. There's a silent auction, and then there's a live auction with a wonderful auctioneer who talks faster than you could ever imagine. And really the point is to celebrate what the center is doing, celebrate what the community is doing, and also try to raise some funds that go back to the students, because the types of services that we offer are typically not covered by insurance and are, unfortunately, do cost quite a bit. And the burden is often on families. So it's really about raising money to be able to decrease the cost for families who are kind of going through this journey.
Well, thanks for the information, and thanks for the good work too, Megan. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Megan Thomas is the clinical director for the Cincinnati Center for Autism. You can find a link to their website at our website, wvxu.org, a full list of their services and other questions answered at the Cincinnati Center for Autism's website. And again, link through ours, wvxu.org. Their Night of the Stars Gala happens April 27th. Information on the web about that as well. This is Cincinnati Edition.